Oh, that's right. I'm right back here. I'm Ann Eller, and I have Ed Qualls on the line with us. He's a nationally known commentator, a political and economic realist, and he's also written a book called Community Capitalism, Pulling Capitalism Back from Its Own Abyss. And he wants to talk to us about what raising the minimum wage would do. How are you doing this morning, Ed Qualls?
Quite fine, thank you.
Well, that's great. That's great. So, well, let's jump right into it. What would happen if we raise the minimum wage, and what wage are we talking about raising it to?
There are several figures batted about. Most of them would raise it $1 an hour. The problem with minimum wage in general is that people approach it without considering the entire systemic effects that it's going to have. For example, it's going to affect big companies and it's going to affect small companies. But we have to remember that it affects small companies, these people that are, you know, working on Main Street, struggling to get by month to month. It's going to affect them much, much worse than it's going to affect the people who are out in the McJob market, as it were. I would say it is the wrong answer to the right question. The biggest question is really, why is the American economy stuck in the doldrums like this? And when you get to a point of asking that, you start bringing in other questions, such as one that I hear quite often, and that's, where has the middle class gone?
Right.
Everything in government seems to be going either at the highest 1% or the lowest 10%. It's whether it's attack or seeking favor or what, no one is paying attention to the people in the middle. Well, part of the problem with that is that we have had a trade deficit since 1980. That is, we have been able to full marketplace since 1980. And the amount that we have lost in cash, because remember, foreign trade is done on a cash carry basis, comes to right at $10 trillion. Now, that's the equivalent of the entire money supply as of earlier last year, when it went from about $10 trillion to over $11 trillion. So we have essentially sent our entire money supply overseas. Without that money to invest in infrastructure, I'm sure you can understand how many teachers that would have hired, how many potholes that would have fixed.
Oh, absolutely.
How many bridges that would have kept from falling down. Well, it's the reason why there are brand new, shining, bright cities being built in the Middle and Far East, but not here. So the problem that the minimum wage brings up is really, what can we do with the American economy to reinvigorate jobs, job creation, reinvigorate small business? Everything that has come out of Congress in the past almost 10 years, maybe 11 years, has hurt one group disproportionately, and that is the small business owner.
Absolutely.
But it is the small businesses that are the bread and butter of the American economy. They are the root, they are the firm foundation of capitalism. And if we keep cutting every ability that they have to invigorate the economy, we're just going to end up with nothing.
Well, I think you can see that just by the number of businesses that are no longer here in our community. We've had a tremendous amount of small businesses that are no longer here. Now, the big box stores are coming in, but we've lost our individuality of a lot of the small businesses.
Right. There has been an economic cycle in which the higher-paying smaller businesses are put out of jobs or out of business by the big box stores that come in, because the big box stores offer things at a less expensive price, so people will gravitate to those. Well, the problem is most of those lower cost goods are coming from overseas.
Sure.
So that actually sets in this cycle of people buying cheaper goods from overseas, which puts more businesses here out of business, which means more people have to buy lower cost goods, and you see how this just digs a deeper and deeper hole.
So what's the answer, Ed?
The answer is start paying attention and now the one thing I like to point out is the fact that there's another country that has also been exposed to a wide opening of its international trade and the capability of its people to buy cheap foreign goods, and that's Germany. But this has not happened in Germany, because the Germans are convinced that it is better to save and buy quality from local manufacturers than it is to keep buying cheap garbage from overseas. It is really a case of re-educating both Americans, the American consumer, and American government that this is what needs to happen. We have a situation where the flatware manufacturers of upstate New York 15 years ago were riding high. They were creating billions of pieces of flatware a year. There were several companies there in the Finger Lakes area that had several hundred people employed. And now we're down to one company that has 17 people that's operating part-time, and that's the only flatware manufacturer left in the entire United States.
That's horrible. That is horrible. You know, one of the things that they've been advertising a lot, for business to come to New York, they will no taxes for 10 years. They are really trying to get the message out there.
Yeah. It's a case of, I would say, too much of people's running after the profit motive, not realizing that if you run after profit in and of itself, you neglect the main thing that profit comes from, and that is your marketplace. If you neglect your marketplace, and that is your community, by running after, one might say, mammon, you're going to lose your marketplace, and that means you're eventually going to lose your profit.
Exactly. Well, what about the Internet, though, Ed? That's made a big difference. I mean, everybody talks about it leveling the playing field and this type of thing. We own a jewelry business, for example, and, of course, we sell diamonds and whatnot, and we've been here in Greenwood for over 30 years. The problem with the Internet is people think they can go out there and buy that diamond at a cheaper price, but they never see it, they never touch it, they just get it in the mail.
Right. There is a bad problem with how people understand how the Internet works. And this has, one of the biggest parts of that is the problem with people not understanding security. Like we've seen with Target and the problem they've been having with the credit card records that were stolen. The other part of it is that people expect, they have wrong expectations about the Internet, and that is that they will get the same quality of experience from the Internet, or the difference in price will make up for it. Now, one of the things also that enters into this is that American businesses need to have people step in and help them with these kinds of resources to educate people and to get them into a situation where they understand how to reach more people, how to handle things. The one thing that I would point to is there is a veterinary medication, veterinary pharmacy, if you would, online. There are several of them, actually.
Sure.
And there's one that I dealt with because I saw that they were actually, I believe, in Alabama. And really reasonable prices. What happened with them was that I received a package of medication on the day that the dog it was for had to be put down. I called their service department and explained it to them, and they said, sure, send it back. Just don't even open it, just send it back. Within a week, I got a sympathy card.
Wow.
From that company, that service group. Now, see, there's a different way that companies have to behave in order to have a successful internet business versus having a successful walk-in business. And this is something that I believe it behooves local governments to help their local businesses understand that and learn how to work that for their benefit. It's something else that is really important for an internet side of things is there is a company that is advertising business cards and all sorts of things on national television. And I went to their site, and I thought, okay, well, that looks pretty good, and that looks pretty good. Then I went to the About page. Well, it turns out it's a company in France. So I did a little bit more research, and I found a company in Maryland that actually had as reasonable prices, but it was, you know, our neighbors in Maryland. So I went with them, actually got better service from them than I would have expected from an international company. So far as consumers go, we have to be educated in the way we approach our purchasing because we vote with our dollars.
Absolutely.
And it's very important, especially if you can, you know, if you have a question about something online, if you can call and get an answer, or if you can send email and get a reasonable answer in good time. Those are all very important things that today's merchants need to know about. And the other thing, of course, is get as much out there as you can to show what you've got. Because the bigger footprint you've got, the longer you can have them wandering around your pages, looking at stuff, thinking, well, that looks pretty good, the more likely it is they'll buy stuff from you.
Sure.
It's a very important thing to understand, and it's very important. The problem that came in, particularly starting around the time of NAFTA and open trade, was the American public and American business were not ready for this level of international competition. American business, in particular, had been so used to having this large American economy, more or less isolated by distance, to itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it just worked in an American framework. Well, things started opening up, largely because the cost of transportation has gone down so fast that now they don't have the benefit of being stuck here in North America. We really are part of a global economy, and we need to learn how people, particularly in other countries like Germany in particular, have approached this problem and have been successful in overcoming these problems.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, you try to say shop local, and yet there's that allure of the internet where you can get so much more perceived and so much better deals is perceived. But as your community shrinks, you ought to be thinking about how are you going to replace the businesses that have left the area because of that.
Right. It's a case of being cognizant of the fact that the job that you protect could very well be your own.
Exactly. Exactly. Or your neighbors, yes.
Right. It's a case of, as I try to keep coming back to in the book, is that it is the community that is the important thing. If you have a strong community, strong local businesses, then you will have a strong regional economy, you will have a strong state, and you will build a strong nation.
So in the end, Ed, we were supposed to be talking about the minimum wage here. What do you believe should happen? Is the minimum wage even an issue we really need to discuss, or is it just something that is grabbing the headlines?
It's something that's grabbing the headlines, but it is also a problem in that costs are outpacing wages. But the problem is, why are costs outpacing wages? And too much of it, I see, comes back to this running after profits. Unfortunately, we have a speculator stock market in which up to, I believe it was 60% of all the trades recently on the major stock exchange were trades that happened in less than a second.
Right.
Now, that is a situation where stockholders are not paying attention to the businesses. They are just using the price as a gambling marker. They are trading on the noise in the system and not paying attention to the basic economic health of the system. They're not paying attention to what the company is doing. The price is merely bouncing around on myth, marketing, and rumor. This is a very dangerous situation. The problem with minimum wage is that it really needs to be gradated. It needs to be alleviated, or the weight of it needs to be taken off of the small businesses. Because the big problem with minimum wage is not the small businesses. It's the mega businesses. They are the ones that have hundreds of thousands of people that they pay as little as possible, and those people have no voice in what's going on. Now, the thing about people in small businesses is that they know the owner. The owner knows them. They know how valuable they are. So very often, these people are ones that, if there's any extra money in the system, any extra money that can come through, they will be the first ones to get it because they know the value.
Sure.
The owners know the value of those employees. When you get to these mega corporations, employees don't mean anything. They're just numbers that flow through.
Well, the other thing is you can dummy down a job so much in a big corporation that you can't do in a small business.
Right. We have to recognize that it is, we have to turn over the ability to set wages in small businesses completely to the small business owners, because they are the ones who know what their market is, they know their employees, they know what they can do, and if anything, they're the ones that want to pay more.
Sure.
It's the mega corporations with hundreds of thousands of people slinging hash, flipping burgers. They're the ones that their employees are just something that's on one entry in a spreadsheet. And, you know, everything nowadays, because of the way things are going, everything has to go by the spreadsheet. But the problem with the spreadsheet is there's no function in any spreadsheet for goodwill.
Oh, that's true. That is
there's
very,
no
very
function
true.
On a spreadsheet for the long life of a corporation. There's nothing about the long life or the survivability of the enterprise. There's nothing in the way people are taught to value companies now that has anything to do with the real economic value of the company. It's just how it's valued by Wall Street.
That is so true. And, you know, I think the American public bought into the idea of the throwaway, whether it's paper plates or plastic silverware, you know, whatever. We didn't care about the things that were handed down. We see it in our business every day, things that are handed down from one generation to the other, like sterling silver flatware. It's now being melted because nobody cares about it. Nobody uses it anymore.
Right. It's too much trouble.
It's too much trouble. Exactly. Exactly. Well, Ed, it has been a pleasure to have you on my radio show this morning. The name of the book is Community Capitalism. And where can you get your book?
You can find the book on Amazon. You can also order it from your local bookstore. It's available as a Kindle ebook, and it's also available from Google Books.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for calling us this morning, Ed Qualls.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, that is Ed Qualls and what he thinks, and some of it makes some sense. The name of the book is... community capitalism. So there are a lot of problems facing capitalism in today's world, particularly here in America. So I thought that would be interesting.